Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com or jbsba.com. That's the short one. If you don't like to type, there's a short one for you. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget all the other things that's going on our website that will help you with your small business. Thousands, counting thousands of archives of past shows that we've done with our Brain Trust members that on every topic under the sun, anything you can think of, we have it right there for you that will help you to do a better job of what in whatever you may be working on in your business. Surely by now we've covered just about everything. And if we haven't, we're going to do it again. And one of the people who helps us do that is our good friend Rob Jollis. Robert L. Jollis, the author of Customer-Centered Selling, the author of the upcoming book, The Way of the Road Warrior, is one of our top salesmanship experts in the Brain Trust, and that's what he's here to talk to us about. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Great to be here.
It's good to have you back. It's like a dream come true for you, isn't it, Rob?
Well, to be with such a smart man, yeah.
Exactly. Rob, congratulations on the book, on the new book. Now, I have the treat of looking at the new cover of the new book, and I want you to know that I'm really excited about this new one. I know you've been working on it a long time, and I'm just teasing the audience a little bit because you're going to launch that book on this show in October, aren't you? Or September, probably.
Yeah, it comes out in October, and I hope to have a conversation and fill everybody in on this book. I think it's the greatest thing I've ever written, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, I'm looking forward to launching it on the show, and we'll tell everybody about it then. We're just going to tease them a little bit about it now, so they won't be able to wait until it'd be like waiting on Christmas, won't it? Okay, let's talk about selling. Now, I think you want to talk a little bit about personality today in the art of persuasion. Tell us about that.
Well, thanks. I do. I think that it's a case of almost getting peanut butter on the chocolate. We're going to put two processes together today. And when I say that, I'm embarrassed to tell you that I've had two processes that I've worked with for probably 15 years and didn't realize we could get them together.
You never knew that peanut butter and chocolate went together until now?
I saw the commercial. I just never tried one. But in any case, I have trainers that work for me that are Myers-Briggs certified and DISC certified. And right. I'll bet a lot of our listeners know what that's about. But for those right. who don't, that's a study in personality. And a lot of times you do what's called a self-assessment. And you sort of end up with some kind of report that tells you your strengths and your weaknesses. And for management, a lot of times they'll use them as ways to support and manage an individual.
Right.
And then, of course, there's the sales process that sits over there in the other corner. Well, I've always, even though my trainers teach this and I'm certified as a DISC instructor, I've always felt uncomfortable when people said, can we use that as sales training? Because it's really not sales training, it's personality training. And really, all we learn is it would be wonderful as sales training if the only person we ever sold was ourselves. Because
right.
it's an assessment on us.
Mm-hmm.
But what I began to realize was, well, wait a second. Wouldn't this, in fact, affect the sales model? We put out a sales model. Jim, you went through professional selling skills years ago.
PSS 1 and 2.
Right. And we've had my customer-centered selling model, and Rackham has his incredibly good spin selling model. But one thing we don't do is we never really apply personality to it. So we can tell an individual, for instance, hey, you got to ask a lot of questions. Well, that's a very good global decision. However, what if we're dealing with a dominant individual? And we walk in and we say, you know what I want to do today? I want to go to school. I want to learn all about you. I want to get an education. For a more dominant individual, that would be the equivalent of taking your fingernails and dragging them across a blackboard. They don't want to go through all that. Could you do that before you come to my office? But they want to kind of just net it out and get to it. Mm-hmm. Then we deal with a social person, so we say to ourselves, okay, well, I won't make that mistake again. And we go to the next door, we knock on the door, and we say, hey, I don't want to take a lot of your time. I know you're very busy, so let's just get at it. Tell me this. And the person says, wait, I want to talk about my canoeing trip.
That's right. You don't know anything about me.
Right. So all of a sudden, you see the sales model needs to expand or contract based on personality. So what I've tried to do is really put the two models together and not only say, here's a sales model, but say, well, where does it expand and contract based on personality? And most importantly, how do we determine that personality without telling somebody, could you go in a corner, take this assessment, let me read it when you're done, and then I'll be better off.
Yeah, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be at your office next Wednesday. Would you please take this test so I can and send it back to me before I get there? I think we're going to call this the Jollis Cup, right, instead of the Reese's Cup. Is that what we're going to do? Right back after these messages, folks. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. We're visiting with Rob Jollis. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. There must be some kind of way out of Rob Jollis is our guest and our good friend, the author of Customer-Centered Selling and the soon-to-be-published book, The Way of the Road Warrior, Lessons in Business and Life from the Road Most Traveled. And Rob and I are talking about the importance of understanding how personality plays a role in, plays an important part in whether you're successful in selling or not. And Rob, you were talking about the couple of different types of personality tests, the Myers-Briggs test and the DISC test, which you're going to talk about in a second. But folks, in case you're not familiar with either one of those and you might not completely be staying with us on where we're headed here, think of an A-type personality and a B-type personality. You know, you've heard about that. Some people have accused me, Rob, of being a double A. I have no idea what they're talking about. But, they obviously don't know what they're talking about. But anyway.
As smart as you are, you couldn't figure that out?
Well, I think I must be in denial or something, Rob. But anyway, think about that, folks. And only the Myers-Briggs and the DISC method takes that very simple observation about a person, whether they're an A-type or a B-type or whatever. It's a lot more sophisticated, which you actually need to understand because you've got all these. I mean, what have we got? 6 billion people on the planet, Rob? I mean, we have to be able to be flexible when we deal with these folks with regard to their personality. And if we don't understand how personality works, then we're not going to be able to make that adjustment.
Let me give you a classic example. When I do my training now, I actually put this up as a case study, and I'll shorten it for you. You know, I put up a case study where a financial analyst is meeting with a client. It's a fairly long-term relationship. The client says to him, listen, I'm going to have to cancel because one of my children is having a medical condition. The financial analyst says, oh, I understand. I hope everything is okay. We'll simply set it up again, and I hope things turn out okay. And the question I ask the audience, because it's based on a true story, is how did the financial analyst do? And the answer to the question is terribly. And the reason why is because based on personality, that individual interpreted that lack of questioning as this person must not be very interested in me. I guess it's all about business. And why didn't he ask me more about my child? And was very put off by the situation. Now, there, in reality, as you know, there is no right or wrong answer to the case study I've just given you. The right answer, I guess, is depending on personality and how do we pick up clues on that, we need to be more sensitive to individuals. And what Myers-Briggs did is a tremendous job. They broke it into 16 different quadrants. What DISC did was try and simplify it. And they said, you know what, we're going to break it into four quadrants.
Uh-huh.
For me, and if that's all I was studying, I like them both. But for me, I need an assessment that's going to take maybe 5 seconds for me to be able to figure out who I'm speaking to.
If you're walking into a sales situation, if you can't do that in 5, maybe 15 seconds or so, you're going to be behind the curve, aren't you?
Well, yeah. Now I may even guess wrong, but I'm going to use some clues that I'll go over with you in a moment and make that assessment. I will tell you that the model that I've created only has three personalities because we've polled about 1,500 people at this point, and when we were trying to use a fourth personality, we found about a 25. 30 and 30-ish split, and then there was one kind of obscure personality that was coming in at about 2%.
Would you like me to tell my story?
Tell the audience who that is.
I was telling Rob about this earlier. I was in a setting one time with around 110 folks or so. These were all executives. These were all high-powered people, meaning high-powered meaning they were all, you know, forceful, make it happen kind of folks. And so the person who was speaking to this group gave us all the DISC test, and a D, by the way, folks, is like an A personality kind of thing, and so when we all took it, there were about, I'm going to say about 50%, Rob, were D's,
right,
and I think they determined I was a double D, and then there were about 30% I's, and about 20% S's, and the C of the 110 or so people. This blew me away. There was one person who was a C.
And who was that, Jim?
Well, I know who it was, but I'm not going to say.
But
it fit. All the people in the room knew each other. And so we looked around, and we never thought about it before, but as the DISC method, the DISC parameters had been explained to us, we looked around at the people who answered the various ways, and we said, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, because the dominants were in one corner, and see, I do this all the time, and they're typically arguing over who's going to give the presentation and how fast we can get this done, and they're on their cell phone. And the social people are dressed a little bit more creatively, and they are chatting up a storm. And the analytical people are very quiet, sort of sitting in a corner trying to measure and number everything they can. So, in fact, those are my three quadrants for the audience. You really have an analytical type person, a social type person, and more of a dominant type person. And if we can, when we get back from the break that's coming up, if we can just spend a moment and figure out through voicemail, email, and appearance how in 5 seconds to determine which of those three we're talking about, now we have something to really apply a sales model to. If nothing else, at least giving it a pacing.
Right. For the dominant person, what's the first thing you need to know about a dominant person?
For me?
Uh-huh.
You better give them up, give them the floor, and treat them as let them have the feeling that they're running the meeting, or you're going to have a problem.
Back off would be my first recommendation. Ten till, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with Rob Jalas after these messages. The Reverend Al Green, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Jalas is our guest. He's the author of Customer-Centered Selling. And, Rob, I need your website, please.
www.jolles.com.
And if folks want to find out more about you as a speaker, as a trainer, what you're doing out there in the marketplace, helping companies and individuals to have the maximum opportunity to be successful, they can find all that at your website, can't they?
That's where they go.
And don't forget, the book, Customer Centered Selling, is available wherever books are sold, but also there at the website. So, folks, I encourage you to check that out and see what Rob has going on, jolles.com. All right, Rob, we're talking about the three main personalities that you've identified. You said that when you find yourself with a dominant personality, and I've done this many times, it doesn't take 5 seconds typically, does it, with a dominant personality?
You'll find it. You could walk, see the way they're dressed, or notice that their desk is probably immaculate, and you're not going to see a whole lot of family pictures around. I don't think they have to even open up their mouth. That's what I'll tell you right now, because a lot of the people listening frequently are communicating through email. I can tell a dominant email in a second. It's not that there won't be a Dear Rob on there. There won't be a Take Care and Have a Great Weekend. This is, if you ever get an email where people don't even have the time to capitalize their letters.
Just one line.
Yeah. Send
maybe,
the books now.
Words.
Yeah. It'll be a sentence or two. And what you have to do is take a deep breath, because some people will be almost mildly offended that this email is coming through so coldly.
Abruptly.
Right. By the way, here's an irony with dominance. They are abrupt. That you may perceive them as rude, and by far across the board, they're absolutely the easiest person to sell.
And
you just have to get there and net it out.
And once you get their business and you continue to do a good job for them, they're the most loyal.
Oh, absolutely. Very loyal.
Once they become comfortable with you, once you allow them to establish themselves as the alpha person in this relationship, then you can't run them off.
That's exactly right. Will it do it? Can it do it? Show me how it does it. Good, it's done. I'll buy it.
There isn't a whole lot of talk. Let's talk about the second group.
The second is the social. Now, even through emails, for instance, you're going to see, you might see some sort of colorful design. You're going to have a dear so-and-so. You're going to have an opening paragraph about how's business been? How have you been? How's Trudy and the kids? There's going to be a take care at the end. And the reason why I tell you this is because not only are you going to get that from them, but when you send an email, I don't care if you're a dominant individual. Last time I looked, they were the customer. You're going to have to force yourself to capitalize your letters, put Dear Ted on there, and ask about their family. Ask about what's going on.
And don't forget the smiley face.
That's exactly right. And with an analytical, you're going to notice through their emails, frequently they'll have bullets, they'll have numbers. They're going, even when you go in to sell them, you don't want to say things like, this financial product will really help you out. It's an aggressive product. You're going to want to show them 2, 5, 10, and 15-year studies on this thing so you can take them through and numerically prove your case.
How do we tell an analytical person in the first 5 seconds?
Well, a much more conservative dressed in terms of appearance. In fact, in my seminars, I actually took a lot of photos of offices. You're going to notice that they're a little bit in the middle. It will be crowded but orderly. And when I say that, I mean when you walk in and you see a pile, a pile, a pile, a pile, and you see maybe not the stereotypical bow tie, but somebody really dressed down. You're not going to see a flowery shirt. You're going to already start getting the sense of analytical. You'll also notice even sometimes in the position they are. It's no coincidence that an analytical will like to work with numbers, will like to be the analyst, will like to work in procurement.
Can you give the analytical person a little bit of homework to do maybe? Get them involved in the process?
Absolutely. And what you really need to do, because sometimes they won't do it, is when they say, well, we really want to make sure that this works properly, say, well, let's come up with a measurement system.
Right.
They will smile and say, oh, boy, I like dealing with this guy. Now, if you said that to a dominant, hey, let's drop back and create a measurement system, they would roll their eyes and get stuck in the top of their forehead.
Or a social person. They're not going to like that either.
No. And by the way, real fast, the toughest of those three to sell is the social person.
Yeah.
They're easy to meet with. You'll have a great lunch, but they won't pull the trigger.
They'll never say no.
Exactly. I'll think about it. We'll get back to you. We'll do this soon.
They're the worst. Roger, we got to wrap it up. Give us your website again, please.
www.jolles.com. And one more thing real fast, just so you know, my seminar book's coming out in its third edition. It's going to be out on the bookshelves in about a month.
I forgot about that one. Congratulations, Rob. Thanks for that. See you next time. Rob Jolles, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.